Good day to you. God bless you. Satan, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. Book of Thessalonians. You know, this would probably be one of Paul's first writings instructed by Almighty God. About 20 years after the resurrection. And Paul writing to the folks here at Thessalonica, they were idol worshipers. Paul goes there one time preaching the truth, laying it out on the line, straightforward. They all converted, basically. And not only did they convert, but they preached it on past where they were and converted many others. This really, really pleased Paul. He was very, very happy, and they brought a great deal of joy to him that the word had taken hold like that with God in control. And he had told them in a loving way how they were his Christian family. And, you know, many times a Christian family is closer even than a blood family. They truly are because of the belief, the love of God, and also the blessings of God upon that family. We'd gotten to chapter 2, verse 16. We were just talking about some legalists, even down to the Kenites that had moved, slipped in. And we pick it up there, having to do with legalism from the old rituals, which many of them had been done away with on the cross, such as blood sacrifice and so forth. And some of the old legalists could hardly handle that. So Paul picks it up and he's kind of addressing that here in verse 16. Word of wisdom from our Father in verse 16, chapter 2, reads, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. This is all the way to the end. Now, Thessalonians, both books, first and second, have to do with the return of Christ at the second advent, or the end of this age, this dispensation of time. So that's what he's talking about. You see, up until Christ paid the price on the cross, and in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, Paul was stricken down by Almighty God himself on the road to Damascus and straightened out and made to be a teacher both to Israel, to the Gentiles, and to the kings and queens. Now, that's to say the royalty. Now, having said that, of course, up until this time, the Gentiles, when it come to Jerusalem, were not allowed to even go past Solomon's porch. You couldn't even talk to them. But now, salvation was to whomsoever would. And that's what Paul is saying. They try to prevent us from giving salvation, presenting salvation to the Gentile. Of course, that was one of the missions of Paul. Verse 18. Verse 17, rather. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, our minds were still there, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. However, it would be 5 years from this time before he would actually be able to make it there. Verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. You know, this is something you want to be prepared for. Many people, when they believe upon Christ, Satan, this is his hour, the hour of darkness. But what you have to remember, as it is written in Luke chapter 10, verses following 18 and 19, we're given power in Christ's name over all of our enemies. So if you allow Satan to mess up your life, it's your own fault, okay? Because you did not exercise the authority that God placed in your hands to simply order in the name of Jesus Christ anything negative out of your life and get rid of it. So here Satan, he's going to try every time you let your guard down. Do you know one of the main times Satan likes to try you when you've been very successful in something? You're happy, your guard's down, and here he's set up the trap for you, tempting you at every turn. You got to be on guard. Well, are you trying to frighten us? No, just the opposite. Keep your eyes open. The enemy is there. Recognize him. Always know your enemy, or you're in a heap of hurt. If you do not recognize your enemy, he's going to be in your pocket before you can even turn around. He's going to take advantage of you or your family before you even know what has happened. So you have to recognize the enemy. You have to keep the shield of Christianity up around you by the power, as I stated earlier, Luke chapter 10, verses 18 and 19, where Christ tells you, hey, I've beheld Satan fall as a star from heaven. And but I give you power over all your enemies. He is our enemy. Recognize him. Don't give one square inch of space to him. A lot of Christians will say, well, ever since I accepted Christ, my life has just fallen apart. Well, get up and act like a Christian. Use the power and authority that God gives you and make evil spirits run from you. You're a child of God. Act like it. You know, I come down on wimps pretty good. And I don't do that because I hate wimps. But there's no need in anyone being wimpish when you're a child of God. Especially when he loads you with... Do you know what he said when I give you power? Do you know what that word power is? It's dunamis. It's where our word dynamite comes from. Not just a little touch of power. It's power to get it done. Can do type people. So just because Satan is in the world is no reason for you to shake or lose 1 ounce of sleep because you have authority over him. As a matter of fact, when you exercise that power, he's afraid of you. His little evil spirits that some people call demons, they're afraid. They'll run from you. Don't let them bug you. Verse 19. For what is our hope or joy, our crown of rejoicing, or not even ye, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Again, that's the subject, is Christ coming. And preparing a people ready for that arrival to do the bidding and the work. In other words, Paul is saying, you people are my joy and my crown because you have rebuked Satan. You have driven him from your midst and even in furthered Christianity in communities beyond you. Verse 20, for ye are our glory and joy. And so it is. Paul was so very proud of him. That was his Christian family. Very close, very loving, all following the Lord Jesus Christ and exercising the power and the authority to drive anything evil or negative away. That's why you never want to let Satan see you sweat on your first cruise. That's a sign of weakness. Satan recognizes weakness that quick. Weakness is usually a sign of doubt, doubting Thomas, weakness. See, you don't go there when God himself through the Son. You know, when he created you, he made your DNA different. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique. He wanted someone just like you. But he wanted you to have the brass horns enough that you'll wallow Satan around instead of allowing him to wallow you around. Christians take ground. We don't give it up. We're not second-class citizens. But I thought we were supposed to love our enemy. Here I go. Okay. Yep, with a 2x4 if it's necessary. If your child doesn't obey, the father says, if you hate your child, you'll spare the rod. In other words, that means discipline. It's the same way with an enemy. If you love him, it may take a 2x4. It may take no telling what, a little powder and a little firepower to get his attention and give him an attitude adjustment whereby he's a decent human being. Okay, but we have some strange things in this world today where we have a czar. that's over so-called supposed to be protecting us for terrorists, and he made a statement just yesterday that there was not a smoking gun on this Christmas attempted bombing when his own father went to our people, our intelligence group, and told them that he was on the hunt with the jihad. That's not a smoking gun. There were smoking guns all over the place. But you see, they want to turn it over to the court so he can lawyer up. And lawyers make more money. You know, lawyers have no military experience normally, unless they are military officers, and have not the slightest idea how to draw information. It's real easy to draw information from someone that's trying to kill our people. All you have to do is use a little bit of experience that we have in this nation. There's a lot of smoking guns out there. We need to start paying attention because somebody's going to get hurt. And I know whose fault it will be. So, having said that, God loves His Christian family. We don't take anything off anybody. And so it is. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. So I couldn't come to you, so we sent Timothy. That's what we did, okay? Verse 2. And sent Timotheus, Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. We wanted to know how you were still hanging there. You know, they didn't have telephones in that time. So you had to send a messenger to find out what was happening there. Verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed there unto. In other words, there's going to be problems. We get hung up. We can't do everything we want. We have to do it God's way. Verse 4, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. I mean, Paul was shipwrecked, he was beaten, jailed, but the Holy Spirit never left him. The shackles fell off, the jail doors flew open, and he walked out. God always stands by His own when you use the power. Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, that's to say Satan, have tempted you and our labor be in vain. I had to send Timothy to find out how you all were doing, because I didn't want Satan to get a leg up here. He didn't have to worry. These folks were solid. They were in the Word of God. Are you? That's what keeps Satan off your back, is knowing and understanding the Word of God, whereby you can exercise the power that He gives you in the promises written in His Word. Well, where could I find documentation for that? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. Do you know what God is? He's talking to you there. What does He say? He says, remind me of the promises I've made so that I can justify you. He wants to know first if you know them. God hadn't forgotten them. But have you ever read them? That's the question. Because God makes good on His promises. And I would ask the same thing God had. Remind God. And He'll take care of you. But you've got to know the Word. It's a sword. It's the sword of the Lord. The Word of God is. It's powerful. And it'll get you through. It'll make Satan run, he and his angels. All right, verse 6. But now when Timotheus or Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, in that you have good remembrance of us always. You still love us. Think about what we taught there. Desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Christians miss each other. They long for each other. It was Paul's joy to see that group, turn from idol worship and false teachings and fall into line with the Word of God. 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. It made our day, even though we were having problems here. It made our day to know that God had a foothold there. We didn't have to worry about it. Verse 8, for now we live, that's eternally, forever, if you stand fast in the Lord. That's all it takes, you know. You know, you show me somebody that won't stand for something, and I'll show you somebody that'll stand for nothing. Worthless. Okay, afraid to make a stand. You know, your credibility depends on how well you stick with your conscience on what it is you should or should not do. And that credibility goes a long way, especially backed up with the Word of God. In that God would have you do. You make a stand. And having done all, you stand. You know, have you ever read about the gospel armor? What is it that you put all the gospel armor on for? Is to stand against the fiery darts of Satan. Ephesians chapter 6. Your documentation. With the gospel armor on, you don't have to worry about Satan's little fiery darts. Verse 9. For what things can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. How can we be so thankful and show that how our love for you and the joy it gives us to see you continuing with the sword of the Lord? Verse, the word of God, 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. In other words, to come on to maturity, letting God lead and know the way. How precious it is. And here he was basically speaking their Christian father. And that is a thing that a Christian father would naturally say, is to get rid of all the little hang-ups that still exist to bring pleasure and joy to them as he had pleasure and joy in hearing from them. Verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Maybe he will show us how to get there. What you want to remember when you serve God, as I stated earlier, it'd be 5 years before they get there. That's a long time. But that was God's plan. And how much more good did Paul accomplish in that five-year period? Unthinkable even. I mean, writing, this being his first book basically in the New Testament, and Paul being the writer of most of the New Testament, in that five-year period he accomplished so much that was pleasing to God, not necessarily to man. But then when all is said and done and you realize that it is the hand of God that directs, as he stated in that 11th verse, both the Father and the Son. And where those two are, the Holy Spirit is, and he is the one who directs. Verse 12, that's to say the presence of a Father. 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. That Christian love is a strong bond. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that you have a kinsman in Christ, and that Christ abides and helps, increases, blesses, and leads. 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. And here again, what the book is written for, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all your with all His saints. They are coming. We're in the generation that will transpire. It's called the Second Advent. And that was what these Thessalonians were building, that foundation of people preparing themselves to receive that God would send. That is to say, the Son at the Second Advent. Do you know the main thing, one of the main things is on the first day that He sets foot on earth. And when we come to this fourth chapter, this is where the so-called rapture doctrine comes from. It's about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to get it right because a lot of people will be deceived. You see, Antichrist knows about the Second Advent. He intends to try to be a sooner. That is to say, to show up before the real crowd does, as Christ. That's why he's called Antichrist. You don't want to miss this fourth chapter. It has to do with what some people, in their ignorance, the word rapture is not even in the chapter. Let me say that coming out the gate. But it has been repeated by ratchet jaws for so long that it automatically flies into the mind of the person, though it's not in the Scripture of God. When it comes to the consummation of the end of this age, it has no part in it. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 13, God makes it very clear, I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. Why? He loads you with the gospel armor not to fly, but to fight Satan, to stand against the fiery darts, and to accomplish what it is God would have His people accomplish, to, quite frankly, save the children of God. Save them with what? With the Word of God. Chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Correcting the little shortcomings that you still have so that God's blessings just pour all over you, so that you have that greatness in that community. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. We explained them in detail. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. No perversion. You don't need anything that perverts the Word of God, but keeps it pure, simple, and straightforward. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. And that's a true statement. When you truly walk in the Lord, God is the avenger. He straightens things out. When someone tries to take advantage of one of God's elect, hey, they're family. And He's the Father. And He has the power and the ability to protect His little ones. And boy, does He ever do it. That's why the Word is so powerful. That's why the Holy Spirit is so lovable, that He avenges those that would come against you, that would try to take advantage of you. Verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He called you to try to help steer people into the right direction, so that they have hope and joy that Paul had in knowing we live eternally. We have eternal life in a perfect world after the rejuvenation. of Revelation chapter 21, that this earth put back into its original form, where it was perfect, buttercups growing at the North Pole, all fertile and beautiful. It's going to go back to that when the firmament is placed back where it should be, and that's His promise. It will be. And what a time to look forward to that. And He wants you to be a citizen of it. And maybe a citizen is kind of a distant word. He wants you to be part of the family, kinsman, to enjoy that eternally. And so it is. That is the family of Christ. That is the family of Almighty God. That's why God does not mind avenging those that try to harm His little ones in their life as they go forward to bring these things to pass. God uses His election to perform. Verse 8, He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. Do you think about that? Someone that despises you when you're doing what's right. It isn't you that they're despising, but Almighty God. And certainly the Holy Spirit, the Avenger, is ready. He's waiting. What did He say? Touch not mine anointed. And He meant it. And what was in Revelation chapter 9, when Satan is booted from heaven to earth, concerning God's elect, what did God tell him in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4? You can go down there, but you cannot harm those that have the seal of God in their forehead. Which means this word taken from here and placed here. Satan, you can't overcome them. Why? They have power over you. It's so simple. When you have the ability and the faith and the understanding to take up the sword of the Lord and face the enemy direct and make a stand and stand for the people, your fellow family, your Christian family, in love, in understanding, and in serving God. No, when they hate you, it isn't you that is despised. It's Almighty God, and He will not tolerate it. Verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's just Christian love. It's a strong bind, a strong tie. Why? Because we have God in common, our Father. Verse 10, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. And we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. You keep spreading that word. You keep abounding and growing as they had. Paul encouraging them as a father, as a Christian father, to encourage them to plant those seeds, to let people see what it's like to have. Don't think people don't notice when you have Christ. You're happy. You have a smile. You don't let little things shake you up. You you don't get mad. You get even. You control. You keep yourself under control. People notice that. That's the mark of a Christian. That's a mark of a child of God. That's the mark of someone that makes a stand. And that stand always makes a difference. And people notice it. That in itself is one of the greatest seed planting tools that exist, is for the unbeliever to see the sanity and the solidity in the life of one that has Almighty God and is equipped with the sword of the Lord, whereby he can cause evil spirits or demons to run. They like someone like that. Why? They're drawn to it. And that converts and grows the family. And that's what Paul is saying here. Grow that family. One more verse to complete. And that you study to be quiet. That means sincere. And to do your own business, excuse me, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You set an example in your community. You put on that yoke that is Christ and you pull your part of the load. And you pull it well. You do it well. And God will always bless you. That's His promise. And when you keep that promise, when you keep your part of that promise, He's going to keep His to you. How precious it is to carry the title Christian. You know, that the healing, the blessings, and the prosperity. Well, and I'm not saying a prosperity message as many people teach it. Serving God brings prosperity. Following God's word and law brings prosperity. Not how much you give, but how you react to God's word and how well you manage. You've got to be a good manager if you're a child of God. Well, how do I manage? By God's word. If you picked up that sword, you know the word, you're armed with it. Nobody's going to be able to take advantage of you. Nobody's going to soak you up in usury. You're too smart for that. If you can't afford it, you don't need it. And there you go. God's people prosper because they follow God's word. Pick up the sword. Be part of the family. It's called the Christian family. It's called the family of God. Do you know something? It's the family that is eternal. I hope you're a part of it. You pick up the sword by studying His word, for His word is the sword. It is the tongue of Christ. Your documentation, Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And He was the living word, the word that became flesh and walked among us. You familiar with Him? You should be. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about some reverend or some denomination or some Christian organization. We do not judge people. We have one judge. That's our Father. He's our avenger, our judge, and our Father. And He gets it done. You don't need to judge people. Teach God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Let the chips fall wherever they may. Never, never, never apologize for the word of God. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Now, you got a prayer request? Don't need that number. Do away with it. Don't need the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He's got time for you. Just talk to Him. You know what He wants from you more than anything? Hosea 6:6. Your love, not your burnt offerings. He wants your love. That's why He created you. For His pleasure. Last verse of Revelation chapter 4, documentation. Let Him know you love Him and be blessed. But not only are you blessed, but you'll be a blessing to others around you. Think about it. Won't you do that? Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, let's get into some questions. Christopher from New York. Once a person has come into the light of Christ, can they fall so far left that they can't come back, or are you always welcome back into the arms of Christ? Well, if you truly repent, you are. Because once you're saved, who does the saving? Christ does. And you are saved, but you can sin and fall away until you lose your salvation. As far as you're not in good standing. Why? You're bad. Okay. Not only that, you're ugly. And once you repent and come back to Him, His salvation is still there. Okay. But you can slip so far away, you'll go to hell. It doesn't matter. On Judgment Day, it's written in the book, and there you go. Lisa from Iowa. I'm watching your program, and you were answering some questions. You were talking about a Mars Hill. What is a Mars Hill? Is that a hill or a station or something in a different age? No. I am in the fifth grade. Thank you, Lisa from Iowa. Well, it's good to have you with us, hon. Mars Hill was where Paul was teaching in Acts chapter 17. It was a hill in Athens where people would go, and they had every belief in the world. They even had a big post there that said, "To the unknown God," just in case somebody missed him. And Paul went to Mars Hill, and he was teaching truth there. And many, as always, really believed him. But it certainly was not in a different age. It was Paul teaching, okay? And man, you don't need Satan. Sometimes ratchet jaws are confusing enough if you listen to them instead of the Word of God. Good for your question. Thank you. Pastor Murray, this is Judith from, don't know where Judith is from. Is there a scripture that says you should never come to church broke or empty-handed? If so, where is it? Thank God and bless and cover you always. Well, he sure does, and I appreciate it. There is no scripture that says don't come to church broke. You go to church. This is one of the reasons that as pastor of this church, I will never allow a plate to be passed. I mean, what you give is between you and the Father, not me, not the church. It's in secret to Him. So I know that some churches have strange ways of raising money. God, first number one, doesn't send out beggars. And if somebody has to beg to stay as a church, God didn't send them. I'm not judging. That's just a flat-out statement. Because, why? Well, Christ said, don't ever take a begging bag with you. So if you've got somebody begging, and why would someone tell you, don't come to church unless you've got money? They're not interested in your soul. I'll give you three questions what you think they might be interested in. If they said, don't come without money, I can tell you what they're interested in. It's your money. Now, I really would not darken the door of a place that was interested in my money instead of my soul, because that's what churches are about, or supposed to be. just making friends and influencing people here, okay? And serving God. Would you, this is Carol from Texas. Would you please explain further, since God died for our sins, why and how does why does He send judgment upon us? Do we pay on earth or heaven or both? Is illness a form of punishment from Him? Absolutely not. It's carelessness and health laws in what you do. I've had people tell me this. Well, there's a lot of ignorant people in the world. Okay, you need to go by God's health laws. And God, you know, you want to read, I want you to make a note, home assignment. Jeremiah chapter 23, the last half of the chapter. God said, don't you ever say what kind of burden I put on the people, because I don't put burdens on people. And if you accuse me of it, I'll dump the whole load on you. So you want to be real careful of saying, of listening to somebody that says God does this and God does that. God blesses his children when they deserve it. And God gives us the knowledge to be blessed. If you don't take advantage of it, then hey, have a good trip. Judgment isn't, naturally, I want judgment to come forth. Why? Because that's payday. Judgment has two sides. This is one of the first things you want to learn about the law. Judgment has rewards and punishment. It's according to what kind of person you are. These old boys that told this person they never come to church without money in their pocket, I can tell you what their rewards are going to be. Punishment. Big time. Because judgment starts at the pulpit. God starts judgment by own preachers and so forth. Floyd from North Carolina, I'm watching your program now in Deuteronomy, and I was wondering if we get your program a week after recording, or is it delayed sometimes? Now, it's if you are listening to the live hour, we do 1 hour live every day. Okay. Naturally, we buy many hours of time on certain stations, so naturally part of that is pre-recorded then, of course, but it was done live. Everything we teach is done live and then replayed, because we have over 300 television stations we play into, plus all kinds of satellites, plus we have our own satellite transponder that we feed all these people, our signal, our word, and the word of God around the world. And so when you cover the whole world, there are many different time zones. So if you happen to know when the live hour is, it's live, okay? Otherwise, it was done live. And one lady come ask a question the other day, is that old man that teaches, is he still alive? Well, I try to be. Okay, so we keep plowing. James from California. Pastor Murray, I love you very much. Well, I return that love. God bless you. I watch your program every night. I'm a sinner saved by grace. When I die, if I make it to heaven, what side of the gulf will I go on? I'm very scared. Please answer me. Well, why would you be scared? I'm not to judge somebody. God's going to decide which side you go on. But if you're saved, you're naturally going to go on the good side. Now, if you get there and you can see Abraham and you're on the same side he is, you made it. Okay, you don't have to be scared. What are you scared of? God loves his children. You want to be careful listening to yo-yos that teach fear and fright, fear and making people afraid. Because God loves his children. He truly does. Mike from Illinois. Before Christianity, when people didn't know about Christ, will their sins be forgiven? Thank you, Pastor. I listen to you every single night. Well, we're glad you do. It's good to have you, Mike. This is why you want to read God's Word. God is always totally fair. Therefore, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, while Christ was in the tomb, he went all the way back in paradise to the time of Noah, which means the beginning, Adam, and taught them and gave them, because he had paid the price on the cross, and gave them the opportunity to accept him as Savior. And if you continue reading on into chapter 4 of 1 Peter, you find out he freed many of the prisoners. So God doesn't play favorites among his children. Those that were from before had the same opportunity that we do today. And the millennium equalizes the whole thing just before the great white throne judgment. And then at the white throne judgment, some won't make it, some will. Sharon from Indiana. Pastor Murray, there are so many different Bibles out there. Which one is a good one to read? Which one is most strict and closest to the Word. Well, naturally, I recommend the Companion Bible, which we have here at in our library at Shepherd's Chapel. Now, there are many new versions, but they have changed many things. And it really galls me. I really hate it when somebody changes the Word of God. You see, we've had some great scholars since Christ. And in the early 1800s, Dr. Strong's, Dr. Bullinger, and a few other people who were great scholars. Bullinger was so good at Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic that Christian Ginsburg allowed him. He was the only Christian that was a proofreader to the Ginsburg's Masoret. Now, that may not mean a lot to you, but that's quite a statement. Okay, but when those scholars arranged it so that using Dr. Strong's work and Bullinger's work, which is the Companion Bible, nobody can change that word. That's what the Masoret means. It's a Hebrew word that means to pass something from my mind to yours without somebody being able to change one jot the meaning and the details. So, naturally, I highly recommend that. You know, where you hear me quote that Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 18 forward down to 20, God says, I'm against those that teach my children to fly. You know what the NIV says? Birds flying. Totally loses the subject and the warning. That's robbing people. So I wouldn't have one. Wouldn't want one in my library unless I had to have it to document where errors are. Claire from California. Pastor Murray, I am blind, and I would like to be able to study the Word as you advise in your talks daily, but it is very difficult for me to do that. Do you have something that would aid me? Thank you and God bless you. I listen to you each and every day, and I thank God for it. Well, you know, we do not have in our library a Bible that is for the blind to read. However, they are available, and in most any Bible bookstore could advise you. But if you trust our teaching and you have someone with sight to see that I'm not changing words, then you can trust by listening every day. We make it through the Bible about every 5 years from cover to cover. And I think it'll be of great help to you. And certainly that gives you the advantage of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and the Greek when it is necessary. Plus, when there's something severely important from the Masoret, it will be brought out for you. I hope that that would be helpful. Mary from Arizona. If to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, what does it mean that we sleep at death unconscious or anything until Christ returns? The flesh sleeps permanently. Okay, it returns to the dust from which it came. But you need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 35. And you will note, you've got two bodies. One never sleeps. It instantly returns to the Father, as it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Instantly. And this clay body goes back to dust. You don't need it anymore. It's fragile. It's perishable. It's sickly when it's exposed to germs. And your spiritual body isn't. It's perfect. God knew what He was doing when He created our real body. And that's the spiritual body. So, and it never sleeps. Don't miss the next lecture. It'll straighten you out on that as we complete the fourth chapter of this first book of Thessalonians. It'll help you a bunch. David from Georgia. In Matthew 18:2, Jesus said, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." But how does one remain childlike when performing a job? You're misunderstanding. He's speaking spiritually. Have you ever noticed a little child? If they love someone, they're full of questions. And they'll come up to you and ask a question, and when you give the answer, they accept it. You know, that's why you never want to mislead a little child, because they're all believing, all learning. And that's what he meant, is when you hear the word of God, don't question it. As long as it is scripture by scripture, line on line, precept on precept. If God said it, you can believe it. And as a little child, you need to grab that and run with it. Okay. Accept it. And then don't let some ratchet jaw, Bible thumper, that claims to be teaching Bible and never quite gets around to quoting Bible, maybe one verse and then ratchet jaws for half an hour or more. What is he teaching? Is he teaching Bible? No, he isn't. He's ratchet jawing. Now, I'm not condemning or judging or anything. It may sound that way. But if you're going to church, a church is to study what? The Word of God. And the Word of God is the Word He sent us, the letter that He wrote to you, whereby you could know and to understand and receive it as a little child without doubt. Quentin from Iowa. The one that keeps bugging me, the question that keeps bugging me, is in Matthew it says, one will be taken and another will stay. And again in Revelation, flee to the mountains and don't turn back. My children and I are still not sure what all this means. Well, you have to chronologically, naturally keep up, okay? But what's the subject in Matthew where he says, if one flees, another one will stay? The subject is the Antichrist is coming before the true Christ. What is the field? It's the world. And you're supposed to be working for the Lord God Almighty. And it tells you, if they say he's in the field, don't go out there and hear, don't be deceived. So the first one taken, because that's the subject, is taken by Antichrist. The other keeps working in God's field, doing God's work, and teaching against this satanic power of the Antichrist, even to the point of being delivered up, as Matthew 24 stipulates, you're not to premeditate what you'll say beforehand, as it's written in Mark 13, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you so the truth goes to the whole world. Because it won't be you speaking, but it'll be the Lord God Himself through the Holy Spirit. So that's why it's important. And naturally, you don't want to, when we know He's here, you don't go there until you know the Holy Spirit has instructed you so. Rebecca from Iowa, I have a question. If we have been foretold all the signs and wonders that will occur as it is written before that day when our Lord returns, then why does the Bible teach that he will come like a thief in the night, eluding people to the rapture theory? Well, for the unlearned. Okay. He's not going to come as a thief in the night to us because we know, we don't know the instant, no man does. But we know the season, and we have the key of David, which lets us know who David's offspring is, which is the true Christ, from the fake. And we're not going to worship the fake. But why then would he come as a thief in the night? Because most people that are unlearned will think he's already here in the life of Antichrist. They're not even looking for him anymore. They think the Antichrist is Christ. And then these two witnesses finally appear, not to mention all of God's elect that are witnessing with the Holy Spirit speaking through them. And then all of a sudden, here comes the true Christ. It'll be like a thief in the night to most of them, because they're not watching, because they think he's already here. It is the height of stupidity in a generation that is so high tech, where people are so tech savvy and so biblically illiterate. So illiterate. It's a shame. It truly is. Al from Virginia, and I understand you're a Marine, sympathy. My question is, how will we know which side of the Gulf we are on when we return to God? God bless you and your staff. Well, the way I thought you knew that Marines guard paradise on the side, right side. Okay, you got a place there already. You don't have to worry about it. Do I jest? Well, kind of. But you want to be on the side that Abraham's on, you're on the right side. Then there is a gulf, as it is written in Luke 16, and those that don't make it are on the other side. You don't want to be over there, and they don't even allow Marines over there, quite frankly. So anyway, God bless you. It's good to have you with us. All right, I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, though, God loves you for it. Man, it makes His day. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. And when you bless Him, He will always bless you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, again, blessing God, He always blesses you. Most important, though, you listen to me. You listen good. You stay in His Word every day. In His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's